You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of CROI 2008, the 15th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections. The conference took place in Boston, Massachusetts from February 3rd through February 6th, 2008.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, Editorial Director of The Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions. Accompanying me on this interview is Dr. Gerald Perrone, a clinician and researcher who is the director of the AIDS Research and Treatment Center of the Treasure Coast in Fort Pierce, Florida.
Hello, my name is Lars Peters. I work at Copenhagen HIV Program. And we have done this study called Hepatitis C, virus co-infection does not influence the CD4 cell recovery in HIV-1 infected patient with maximum virologic suppression. And that's a Euroceda cohort study.
How big is this cohort?
The cohort is more than 14,000 patients. They are followed in all over Europe and also in Argentina and Israel. So it's 29 European countries and then those two countries.
And how many patients were in the?
Almost 4,000 patients were included. We set this inclusion criteria, and that of course excluded many patients, but it was 4,000.
Could you describe the inclusion criteria?
All patients, they had to be tested for anti-HIV antibodies. And for those positive, they had to be tested for HIV RNA and HIV genotype. And then for all patients that fulfilled those criteria, they had to have at least two consecutive HIV viral load below 50 copies per mil after starting HIV treatment.
What were your methods then?
The methods was that we only looked at that time period where they have fully suppressed HIV. And that's the difference between this study and previous studies, because previous studies, they have come to conflicting results. And we believe that there must have been some confounders in those studies that would explain those results.
Well, fully suppressed means under 50 copies?
Yeah, here it means under 50. But in previous studies, it was 400 or 500 copies per mil. And that means that we couldn't rule out that some low-level viral replication had occurred in those studies.
And what did you find?
We find that we did three comparisons. First, we compared the HIV seronegative versus HIV seropositives. And then for those who were HIV RNA positive, we compared the four HIV genotypes against each other. And then the third comparison, we compared those patients HIV seropositive who were HIV viremic with those who had cleared their infections spontaneously or due to HIV treatment. And we found absolutely no difference in all three comparisons. There was approximately an annual CD4 increase of 40 cells per CD4 cells per microliter. And there was no difference in the three comparisons.
And no one has anyone found this before, or?
As I told you, there's been some major cohort studies looking into this, and they fall into two groups. Those have found that co-infected patients have a blunted CD4 response after starting HIV treatment, and those who have found that there's no difference between being co-infected and HIV mono-infected.
Were they as large as this study?
Yeah. They're quite big, and one of them was actually an old Euroceda study.
Oh.
But at that time, we only had the hepatitis C serostatus on the patients, and that was also characterized all the previous studies that their patients were not well defined with their HCV status. We know not only their serostatus, we also knew if they were HCV RNA positive, and we knew the genotypes. So we were also able to compare the four genotypes against each other.
Uh-huh. I see. Was the feeling, before you started the study, that HCV did or did not? I mean, was the assumption...
The assumption was that there was no difference.
Uh-huh.
And and also that that previous study has been confounded, especially because they couldn't really just for adherence, and that's a major confounder, especially for this patient group, and also differences in potency between the different HIV regimens. So if we only look at the time when the patient is fully HIV suppressed, then we have overcome those confounders, and then we are more sure that we look at a biological effect. Is there any interaction between the hepatitis C virus and the HIV virus? And we found none.
Hi, this is Jerry Perrone from the AIDS Research and Treatment Center of the Treasure Coast. When you looked, it sounds like you've done a very careful, meticulous study looking at patients, as you said, removing the confounders that just have undetectable viral load. Was it a one-time measurement that led to this data set, or in those patients that were undetectable, did you take multiple data point analyses?
The median number of wild load pairs per person was 7. And the time between wild load pair was 94 days, approximately 3 months. So each patient contributed several wild load pairs.
So very interesting study that that I think refutes some of the previous information about hepatitis C co-infection that's come down through the dogma in HIV medicine, and perhaps this shows that those previous assumptions are not true.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you
very much.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on CROI 2008 from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/CROI2008.